Thank you, Lord, that I know that it's well in my soul. Be patient with me tonight. Brother Miller said, I'm not feeling the greatest. Kind of dizzy and scatterbrained, which I know that's not too abnormal, but please bear with me. This morning when we got here, Brother Ernie led a song. It kind of confirmed to me then that the thoughts that I had, it was like the Lord confirming to me. The message Brother Miller brought today, fine message. Thank you, brother, for sharing that with us. You know, it too kind of went right along with my thoughts. Tonight, get here, Brother Ernie, again. Just a little talk with Jesus. Final confirmation. You know, we talk how it's amazing how God works. It truly is. We shouldn't be surprised. But yet, our human minds, I always am. I'm surprised at the things God does to verify the thoughts that He gives us, the things He does to help people. And you know, that help is just a prayer away. You know, I was thinking here just a minute ago, I have no idea how this is going to go tonight. I've looked at some things. I've had some scriptures on my heart. But you know, sometimes the Lord just changes things around. I was up here, and I'm not ashamed to tell this because it happened. It was a lesson the Lord gave me. I had studied, spent all day Saturday, my nose in the book. And I just knew that that's what the Lord wanted me to preach on. I just knew it. I was sitting over here about where Brother Miller is and up here singing. And at that time, there was enough people here. We had a choir up here. And all of a sudden, it's just like the Lord put another thought on my heart. Right here, I thought that, you know, I didn't study that. I can't talk about that. Got up here, I went and commenced reading what I thought, but you know, I couldn't get nothing out, I couldn't get nothing across. You know me, I get to a point sometimes where I start walking around and I start doing this. I had to walk right back up here and I had to read the scripture that the Lord placed on my heart while I was sitting right there. I knew that there was those in this crowd that knew exactly what I did. And there were some out there that thought that I was the ignorantest thing that they ever seen. Because it was just totally opposite of what the Lord gave me to do. But you know, again tonight I want to say that the Lord, I feel that the Lord gave me that confirmation tonight. I even had a few things written down that I thought I might do. But you know, I just can't think that that's where I need to start. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to open to the book of James, chapter 5, beginning at the 13th verse. This goes right along with the thoughts I had. This is one of the scriptures I had, but you know, I just feel that I need to skip by one tonight. Book of James, chapter 5, beginning at the 13th verse. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And if the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. You know, I've been thinking about this all week long, how God answers prayers. He'll give us the answer to a prayer, and the Bible is full of those answers. The prayers that people, those that have prayed, and the answers that he has given them. I know each one of you here tonight have probably prayed a prayer for yourself or someone else, and the Lord granted that. Sometimes it's not in the way that we think it should be, but it's absolutely right, because that's the only way the Lord will answer it. He'll answer those prayers. I did take the liberty, I went to Webster's Dictionary, 1828 edition, and I looked up pray. It says to address the Supreme Being with solemnity and reverence, with adoration, confession of sins, supplication for mercy, and for thanksgiving for blessings received. I can't help but think that this morning when we come in here and that song was saying, and Lord, give me that confirmation, and how that Sister Becky stood up and you could see how the Lord was all over her. Her hands were shaking, and the way that she delivered that, you could tell that it was from her heart and the Lord was placing it there. Sister Kaylee, when she stood up, you could tell, you could see, you could feel it through them. You could feel the Spirit through them. And then when we heard those this morning when they was giving their prayer request, how many people did we hear this morning requested prayer for because they had loved ones that had passed on from this world? As most of you know, we brought our little great-granddaughter to church with us this morning. And I got to thinking about her. We have a job to do, people. We have a job to do. Those people that have left this world, we have to pray for comfort for those families. That little great-grandchild, we can pray that the Lord would convict her when she comes to the age of accountability. We can pray that the Lord will convict her. We can pray that the Lord will convict all of those that come in and out these doors at the other churches. We can pray for them. But those people that have passed on, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, says, the way the tree falls, that's where it's going to lie. That's where it's going to stay. If they pass through this life and they have not made their peace with God, they're going to go to the devil's hell. I thank God for the testimonies like Kaylee this morning when she testified what the Lord did for her. I mean, it's so wonderful, a young person like that standing up. But you know what? We as older people, we need to do that also, because there are so many of those people out there today that don't know the Lord. We need to be praying. It says here in this reading, the effectual
effectual from the heart. I can remember when I was down here January 10th, 1999, about right there, when the Lord broke me down. And it was the Lord that broke me down. But I want you to think of something. When you was praying for the salvation of your soul, how many people were praying for you? They were praying in your behalf. No, they couldn't pray the prayer that got the salvation for your soul. They couldn't pray that prayer, but they can certainly pray that the Lord would put whatever it takes on you that you could get to that place where you could surrender to Him. We can't pray that prayer. I can remember when we come into this place, there were so many people in the altar. One lost soul would come to the altar, and half or more of the church would come up, and this altar would be full. The other half didn't come because there wasn't physically room for them. I can remember when I got saved, I got up from right there. I got up and I looked around, and this place was just absolutely full. Where are they today? We need to be warriors, prayer warriors. We need to be praying that those people, the ones that hold membership in this church, we need to be praying for them. Amen. You know, so many times we pray and we say, Lord, and all those that it is our duty to pray for. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that it is our duty to pray for them. It is our duty to pray for those that may be considered as enemies. That's what the Lord tells us. It is our duty to pray for anyone. The request we heard this morning, pray for comfort for those families. They need it. Many of you here tonight have lost loved ones. You know how hard it is. We need the prayers of God's people. Those prayers, like when I was there, and I'm sure like with any one of you, will testify to the very fact that when you was down on that altar, wherever you made it, mine just happened to be right here. Yours may have been in the fence row like Brother Dawson's was. But you know, that prayer came from your heart. It was effectual. It also says fervent. You kept at it. You didn't stop. You wanted it more than anything. You kept going. That's what you had to do to receive that salvation of your soul. That's what we as God's people need to be doing for those that are lost now. We need to be fervent about praying that the Lord would help them get to that point. Praying to have more trouble on them than they can ever stand. We need to be praying for those people that are not with us tonight. Amen. Yes, there are those that are here because they may be sick. There's some that can't see, they can't drive. I understand that. But you know what? We need to be praying for the ones that are perfectly able. Those that didn't come because they just didn't want to. Those are the ones. It doesn't matter who's standing up and who's preaching. It doesn't matter if there is any preaching. You know, if we get to the point in ourselves, the Lord may just want to use one of you. He may want to use one of you to stand up and to testify. I've seen it in this house. I have seen it. One will stand up and it's just like popcorn, one right after the other. And it is such a wonderful thing. The Spirit gets to flowing around. The lost get to seeing it. Yeah. I've said it before. The strongest thing that you have is your very own testimony. I think Brother Miller may have touched on that a little bit this morning. Yeah. But your own testimony. Because that is an experience that you had. Only you can tell what happened to you. You were there. Amen. There may be someone that has similar circumstances and they don't understand. I can remember coming in this place I can remember hearing the word being preached. But you know, that one of those times when people would stand up and they'd start testifying, one over here, one over here, one back there, one here. You know, that's first putting a question in a lost person's mind. What have they got that I don't? How did they get there when I can't? And then they start searching. I know I had to start searching. Here in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And I'm going to turn over there real quick.
Chapter 6, verse 6 of Matthew. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." You know, when I was lost, I was there at home, and I started reading one day. I was back there in the bedroom, down in the back. I couldn't do anything. And I started reading one day, and I read the whole book of Exodus. The Lord showed me how that those people would just, how God would help them, and they would just turn away. I tried to read in the Bible before, and I'd get through there, and I'd just get, and you know, I didn't understand it. There's no way I could. I didn't have what it took inside of me. Thank God I do now. But you know, I thought, I'll turn over here to the New Testament, and I'll start, and I got to reading over there, and I got to this verse, to enter into your closet, and you know, it just hit upon me, and I literally would go into the bathroom. And I'd shut the door thinking my wife didn't know what was going on. But I was talking to the Lord. You know, you don't have to literally go into a closet. What he's talking about there is shut out the world. Amen. Shut out the whole world. And I want you to think. I want you to think about this for just a moment. When you were seeking the salvation of your soul, bowed down in the altar like I was here that night or wherever it might have been, do you remember what was there around you at that time? Do you know if anybody was singing? Do you know if anybody was praying? Do you know what anybody else was doing? Do you know if the wind was blowing? I didn't. You see, I was in that closet. Right there, I was in that closet. Everything else was shut out and nothing else mattered. And that's what I had to do to get to that place where the Lord would save my soul. But you know what? We as God's people again, we need to get into that place. We need to get in that place, into that closet. And we need to pray for these people. We need to pray for ourselves that we would be a better witness for God. We would be that light that would shine toward Jesus every day. When we wake up in the morning, do we thank God for opening our eyes? You know, we have that, those things, they need to come from our heart. I know, and I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I think we'll go to dinner somewhere and you just kind of bow your head down and I'll grab Yvonne's hand and we'll sit there and we'll say a little prayer before we eat. But you know, sometimes that all it is just going through the motion. There is a right way to do it. That effectual. We need to love God enough in our own hearts every day. We need to love Him enough to show Him the respect. Not long ago here, Brother Mike taught on Nehemiah chapter 8, and I tried to preach on it a little bit. But you know what? Those people, when they were gathered there in the water gate, Ezra, he come to the pulpit and he opened up the book and all the people stood up. They all stood up. They was given honor to God's word. Honor to God. It says they raised their hands and they bowed their heads, their faces toward the ground.
You see, those people realized that they weren't worthy to look up toward heaven, toward God. They wasn't worthy of it. Yeah. Friends, I'm going to tell you, neither are we.
Amen.
And that's the way I feel in my heart. I'm not worthy to look up toward God. I'm not worthy to look toward Him. We need to realize that. We need to be in a place where we can pray to God. How can we do that? We need to get rid of the distractions that's in our lives. There's so many of them. We come into work. We come in to church. We come into church. Do we pray before we get there? Do we ask God to use me in this service that I might be a help to somebody? Do we actually ask God to do that? Yeah. That's what we need to do.
Yes.
It also says in the scripture that we read, of a righteous man availeth much. In the book of John, there's none other more righteous than Jesus. Book of John 17, you'll find where Jesus was praying for the disciples. He was praying for them that God would keep them through His name, just as He had. He was praying that God would keep the evil from them. He was praying that God would help them to go on and do the works that He sent Jesus here to do. But Jesus, see, He accomplished the works that God sent Him to do. Because He had given the Word of God to those disciples. He had taught them. And He was praying that God would continue to help them, to be with them, that the evils of this world wouldn't stop them. Jesus went on to pray. There in verse 20, it says, neither pray I for these alone, talking about the disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you. That is you. Jesus prayed for you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Jesus prayed for each and every one of us. God heard that prayer. He prayed for each and every one of those that believed upon Jesus. He prayed for us. We, seeing that God has saved our souls, we have that honor of praying. What is praying? I'm going to say it in a simple country boy's language. Praying is a conversation with God. You are talking to the Almighty God. We need to give Him reverence, just like those people did back in Ezra's day. If we come into the house of God, that is part of our worship. We need no distractions.
Amen.
When we're talking to the Lord, there needs to be no distractions. The people of today, we've got in a bad habit. We come in, we have so much technology. We bring these phones and these iPads and all these things in, and we go here. Yeah, you can put it on silence. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I see those little screens, it's a distraction. I don't want to be a distraction, my brother, whatsoever. If I'm going to do something, I want it to be what the Lord has laid on my heart. I don't want it to be anything else. I don't want to do anything else.
but I want to do everything that He gives me.
The Lord answers prayers. He answers them every day. Think of the blessings that we have, children. Think of those testimonies that we've heard. Young people coming up off the altar telling how that the Lord has saved them. That is a blessing in many ways, but most of all to me it's a blessing because that's another one that will be able to testify and tell about God. As God's people, that is our purpose to do, to tell about Jesus. To be able to tell them what they must do to be saved. No, we can't tell them each and every move to make. We can't tell them what prayer to pray. We can't give them the words. Although some men try, they'll come out and they'll write these, they'll put these words together, and it will be a beautiful thing. But there again, the scripture that we read says affection. It must come from your own heart.
Amen.
That's just like the prayers that we pray for each other. If I was praying for Brother Jackson, that prayer needs to come from my heart. Manufacturer's not going to get it. It needs to be from my heart. You see, God places a love in your heart. He did mine. He places a love in your heart for each and every one that you come across. Oh, you get closer to some than you do others, but the love is still there. And that love is what we need to be showing forth. The prayers that we make, they need to be from our heart in behalf of those. God will hear them. He tells us so in His Word. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. The Bible's full of those answers. There was those that was released from jail because of God's people. I think about those disciples when they was up in the upper room, how that they prayed in one accord, and how that Spirit come as a... We can have that, people. We can have that here. That's what happens when I was talking about the people popping up and testifying. That's what was happening. The Holy Spirit was coming through and He was touching this one and touching that one. And they were willing. We need to be willing so we can get back in that place again. We talk about our country, how it's fading back. And then we come in and we come into God's house and yet we sit back. I'm talking about this one too. We come into God's house and we sit back, we shun the Spirit. Jesus left this world and went back to the Father. He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. Physically, Jesus couldn't be with Brother Farmer. He couldn't be with Brother Moore all at the same time in different places, physically and in body here in this world. But when He sent the Spirit back, He can be with each and every one of us, no matter where we are, no matter what time of day or night. He can be there with you. We need to be, people, we need to be in a place where we're praying. Brother Miller's message this morning, I'm going to shut this. Brother Miller's message this morning, I got to thinking about that and how much I think that it kind of goes together. You know, we stand up and we testify and all that, but to do that, we need to be in a place in our own heart and mind that we can allow the Lord to have His way with us. The way to get there is through the prayer. It's through prayer. Talking to God. Asking Him to help you get there, and He will.
Amen.
He wants you to be there because that is how that He can get through to those that are lost. again, I can remember coming up here, and I remember one Sunday, this is after I'd been saved, and it was right out a year afterwards. Up here, they were praying over here and praying over here. There was a few on the altar that day. We were singing songs and praying. Says, I got to say this, and I just can't help it. There's someone in this church that's been called to preach, and I don't know who it is, but he needs to say so. And I sat back there, and I couldn't do nothing but melt. I was running at that time. But you know what? The worst thing about that, from the time the Lord told me to go and to preach the gospel until the time I did, there was a span of time there that there might have been something that I could have said standing before a congregation of people that would have made an eternal difference in somebody's life. I have to live with that. Every day that we let pass by, that we don't pray and let the Lord use us, is a day that we could have said something to someone. If we didn't, they could pin their life, eternal life in eternity. Time, it does go on after death for those that are lost. But it's in a place where nobody wants to be. Nobody wants to be there. The flames, the stench, the screaming, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth. The Bible tells us about it, but you know the words can't hold a candle to how bad it really is. We need to think about that. If we don't get ourselves in a shape to where we are able to help everyone that we come across, casually mention, you'd be surprised how many times there are some painters at work. I was working in Clarksville. There were some painters on the job, and I just happened to mention something about, well, I hate to miss prayer meeting tonight, but I can't get away from here in time. And they get, you know, there was a conversation started up, and we got to talking about the Lord. I haven't seen him in a long time. I don't know if he's started going to church. I don't know if he's been saved. But you know what? That conversation, at least I know I did the part that the Lord gave me to do. And that's all we can do. We can stand up here and we can preach. You can testify, and you can bring your children to church. You can bring your grandchildren to church. You can bring your friends to church. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Take them where they can hear the word. Tell them what you know. Tell them about your salvation experience. Again, it could be an eternal difference in that person's life. The love that God puts in your heart, you know, if we allow it, if I allow it, we can let the world creep in. That's why Jesus was praying for those disciples. He knew it could happen. He knew it would happen. It creeps in there every day. Every time that we shy away from something, every time that, I'm just so tired, I don't want to come to church. I just don't think I need to be there. I won't be no good to anybody anyway. Next time, it's a little bit easier. Next time's a little easier than that. Next time, you don't even think about it. We're praying like we ought. If we're close to God like we ought to be, there won't be no question in your mind. You want to be in God's house. Like Brother Miller said this morning, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the